Continuing our series on chasing carrots, the endless pursuit of more. And the scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And it says this: "Then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.'" May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning as Debbie shares with us, chasing carrots, the endless pursuit of more.
Well, good morning. I saw on the my computer screen this morning that it's a bit brisk down in Bathurst. Hi, Bathurst. Enjoy your fire and your cuppa. Well, in Bathurst, cup will not be a cuppa, might be a chai. Enjoy. This morning I'd like to share with you the lyrics of a well-loved song. "I work all night, I work all day, to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, money must be funny in a rich man's world. All the things I could do if I had a little money might be sunny in a rich man's world." Well, today we're going to look at what Jesus said to the rich people. But I think with this chasing carrots particular subject, I'd like to put a disclaimer out that says Jesus is not angry for people having money. There's no anger, there's no condemnation. All blessings come from God. But it's great to be back in worship, wherever you might be worshiping with us this morning. Last week we focused on Pentecost and we put a pause on chasing carrots. But today we're back, and when I think about the title, Chasing Carrots, I think it's a strange title for me personally because I hate carrots so very much. But the rest of the title says, the endless pursuit of more. And that is a very real situation we find ourselves in from time to time. Today, we're going to consider the topic, and this one impacts all of us. We're going to talk about chasing money and material possessions. Material possessions are what the world offers us. How many of us could honestly say we'd like a little more money? How many of you actually know a rich person? How many of you are that rich person? Being rich and having wealth, it's not wrong or evil. I want to say that straight away. It's not wrong. There is nothing wrong with having money at all. There is no condemnation towards wealthy people. The scripture says that we should see wealth as a blessing. So at home, put your hand up. If you've ever wanted to be rich, maybe in your younger years when you thought that would make you happy, maybe you wanted to be rich. But at what point do we call it and say, that's enough now, I'm rich? I don't need anything else, I'm rich. When do we say enough is enough? For many, being rich is about stature and grandeur. For others, it is an opportunity to do and to have whatever they want, go wherever they want, see whatever they want, indulge in whatever they want. If you have ever desired to be rich, what might you have imagined you would do with your money? No matter how much you have, is it ever enough? What do you need to be happy? How much money makes a person happy? What is the price tag on that? How do you feel rich? What is the price tag of feeling satisfied in life? Most people would say I'm not quite sure, but a little bit more money would be nice. I find at the end of every fortnight, I'm like, oh, if I just had a little bit more money, I could get ahead or I could do something. This is why Jesus talks so much about money and having the right perspective on money and possessions. In Luke, it says, watch out. Then it follows it up again with another warning. Be on your guard. In other words, and two different ways, be careful because it can be dangerous. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And then Jesus says, because life does not persist in abundance of possessions. Sometimes I walk into my lounge room and I think, I could use some colour. And I'm like, no, the more stuff you put in a room, the more you've got to clean it. So my lounge room has a TV and a TV unit, a side box and two couches. And I'm happy. I don't have to clean it. Your life, the quality of your life, is not measured by the volume of your belongings. Jesus is gently saying, be on your guard, because Jesus comes to us gently, and that's how we hear his voice. He wants us to be careful that the world doesn't dictate to us what we do with our money, but that we are seeking him as to how we do what we do with our money. The world constantly screams at us, you don't have this, you don't have that. You need this and you need that. What you don't have is what you need. Your life doesn't need to be filled with things and stuff to spread joy through your life. Jesus had a powerful conversation with a rich guy. He talks about this guy in Luke 12, this story of the rich guy with the great harvest. He was a farmer with an amazing bumper crop, and he was trying to decide what he would do with all of his money. In the end, he decides to tear down the old barns, build bigger, newer barns, and keep all his stuff in the big new barns, then he would retire and just have parties. So Jesus responds, you fool, this night your life will be demanded from you. Then who's going to get what you have prepared for yourself? God isn't mad at this guy, he's just simply disappointed that he was so rich in the wealth of the world and so impoverished in the richness towards God. He missed what matters most. The good news is we're rich. In our country, there are many who go without, and we know this. This is not news to us. And across our globe, we know there are countries, whole countries, living in poverty. This does not go unnoticed by us. In the light of this, if you size yourself up to those countries and those people doing it tough, you can consider yourself to be a rich person. What does rich feel like? I can't help you answer that. If there are still bills to pay and groceries to buy and children to raise and the budget's tight, maybe the rich feeling is a long way off. And perhaps you have a gift of poverty and don't hanker after riches. Also a blessing. There's wanting to be rich and wanting to be rich. These are the things that Jesus wants us to focus on. We can have the richness that the world brings with dollars and possessions and fancy things. Then there's the richness that Christ brings. The difference is the world tells you you can't have both. Christ tells you you can. When I was in my first year of officership, I found one fortnight that my bills exceeded my income. I didn't have money for groceries. So I looked in the cupboard and I had rice, and I looked in the fridge and I had butter and milk, and this would have to do. I would have to get on with that. I was determined, I would make this work. Eating rice for a week wouldn't kill me. I mean, there are countries in the world that eat rice every single day of their lives and they're fine. It was the next day that I received my first meal invite for that week. All the core people either invited me out or to their house for a meal. I hadn't told anyone that I had no food. I just decided I would eat the rice and that would be enough. It was during this week of my life that I got to see God bless me the most. An abundant feeling of being wealthy in love and friendship and joy. I also found $5 in my jeans, so I got a loaf of bread. That same day that I realized I had no money, I also realized I had my offering in my handbag. I went to my handbag, took out the offering, and thought I could easily buy groceries with this. I prayed over it, put it back in my handbag, and decided I had already dedicated that money to God, and here I was considering stealing it back from him just to buy groceries. Technically, I had food. I had rice, I had milk, I had food. The following Sunday, I put that same money in the offering. Never regretted it to this very moment. You have gifts. You have talents. You have opportunities. Don't ever apologize for the areas of your life that God has blessed. For some reason, people think that they have to apologize for these things. I'm encouraging you now not to do that. If you've been blessed with finances, praise God for that. If you've been blessed with tech savvy, praise God for that. If you've been blessed with sitting and comforting people, you've been blessed with that. Being rich can have a downside. And in the light of a spiritual journey, the downside can be huge. When Jesus had a conversation with yet another rich guy from the Bible, he soon worked out that his money meant so much to him that he would forfeit becoming a disciple of Christ. In fact, Luke's Gospel 12:15 says, "Watch out, be on your guard." Two times it says the same thing. Jesus really wants to hammer home this point. He's not saying, don't have things. He's saying, be careful with what you can have. Jesus looked at him with pity and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. When you are rich, you are completely self-sufficient. Therefore, you can easily fall into the trap of not needing God and not relying on him. That is the danger of wealth. You can put your own roof over your head. You can put your own food on the table. You can pay your own bills. You don't need anyone or anything to help you. But you also run a massive risk of becoming joy deficit. You run the risk of alienating people and flying solo. And I think COVID has helped us understand that flying solo is so painful and lonely. Wealth can be distracting, and we can miss out on what really matters. To quote a great superhero's uncle, with great power comes great responsibility. The same can be said for wealth. The scripture says, to whom much has been given, much will be required. Every day our culture shouts at us, what you don't have is what you need. a bit like a hypnotic mantra. A new phone, a better TV, a brand new purse, the shoes, the watch, the sunglasses, the wallet, the jacket, the backpack, the speakers, the car, the furniture, the vacations. The list goes on. What you don't have is what you need. Because of this constant bombardment, Jesus felt it necessary to warn people, be on your guard. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of money and belongings. If we are super honest with ourselves, we would say, yep, we are spending more money than we make. Why is that? Mostly because we buy into the lie that stuff makes you happy. Whenever we believe that more money and more things will solve our problems, we are under the curse of money. The part of the scripture that says, and is always misquoted, money is the root of all evil, it doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Because Christ never said, don't have money. He said, be on your guard, be careful. We don't need more things that are temporary. What we do need is more of what is eternal. What we don't need is more money. What we do need is more Jesus. We are not to put our hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but instead to put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Don't feel guilty if you have money. Jesus calls us to feel responsible. To whom much has been given, much will be required. Have money, but seek out God as to how that money should be used. Let no one on this earth tell you what you should do. Seek out God always. Be generous, be willing to share. And maybe your riches aren't financial. Maybe you have the capacity to house people. Perhaps you have the capacity to love, to give freely of your time. Riches don't just accumulate in a bank account. They accumulate in your heart. And if you are storing your love for no reason at all, you're going to damage yourself and others will miss out. If you are storing whatever blessings God has given you, whatever riches He has poured out on you, God is telling you, give freely and share what has been given to you. Our God has blessed us with more than we need. He has given us more. With everything within us, we are called, equipped, empowered, and honored to do more. Temporary things of this world promise but don't deliver. Let us take what has been given to us. Let us use it to be a blessing to others. When the world screams, what you don't have is what you need, remind yourself that what you need is Jesus. And He is free for the taking. As we join in song again this morning, take time to thank God for the blessings, to thank Him for everything He has instilled in your life that you might give to others. And if you have lost focus a little bit along the way, perhaps this morning is that opportunity for you. And always remember, God is not angry with you. He wants to walk with you and help you along these paths. The team are going to come now, and we're going to sing this morning in our reflective time, In the Secret. This song is an amazing song of coming and allowing God. Because when we open our hearts and we allow God to do what He wants to do, great blessings flow. It's been great to be with you this morning, church. Let's sing together.